Greetings to you in Jesus' name. Hope you're well and full of faith. You know, sometimes we get caught up in the moment while making decisions and find out later that it wasn't the best or right decision that we made. Once we are aware, where do we go at that point? Is it self-blame, self-doubt, or even the, well, it's not my fault, it turned out that way? You know, we make decisions based off of things such as feelings, emotions, fear, doubt, quote unquote, you know, I wonder if, you know, and the unknown, and many other things. Well, this week's feel, we will take a look at the Lord's view and King David's view for two views. Let us keep in mind what the Lord says in Isaiah 55:8-9. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Think about that. He says, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. It's higher. When you know the Lord gave us a will, and time again, our will may not line up with his will and purpose. Therefore, here comes the two views. How we see it through a very small lens, and how he sees everything at once, all the time. But guess what? There's hope in Jesus. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He is with you. It's a process of spending time with him and his word that allows us to grow actively and spiritually in him, that we may begin to line up with his will and purpose. Receive it by faith, not by sight. So our study will take us to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And again, the title this week is called Two Views. Our fuel is two views. Verse 1. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." And Joab answered, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But, my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,100,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now, I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you 3 things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you." So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 things of famine, or 3 years, excuse me, either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, It is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. Therefore, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel, and his four sons who were with him hid themselves. But Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David. And he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at the full price, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, Take it to yourself, and let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I give it all. Then David said to Ornan, No, but I will surely buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. For the tabernacle of the Lord and the altar of the burnt offerings which Moses had made in the wilderness were at that time at the high place in Gibeon. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid of the sword of the angel of the Lord. That was quite a bit, huh? Wow. Well, let's go back to verse 1. It says, Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. It was against Israel. Against Israel he stood. Satan was against Israel. He was against Israel. He stood and he moved on the king and used him against Israel. But again, you guys, we know the devil doesn't care who or what he uses to go against God, does he? But we know that the word of God tells us that David is a man of God after God's own heart. And you can find that in Acts 13:22. Yes, he is. But David still has a will, doesn't he? And he sees it differently. Again, he's being influenced by Satan. There's a constant dose of influence that we get every day, isn't it? A constant, think about that, a constant influence of good and bad. It's there. It's every day that we get it. You know, although we are influenced, it's still our choice to make on which side we fall. Remember Adam and Eve? They were influenced and they made choices that didn't line up with the Lord's. So let's look how far back. I mean, Adam and Eve is in the beginning. Look how far back two views goes. Their view and the Lord's view. Verse 3. And Joab answered, "May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are." You see, so Joab says, no matter what number it is, may the Lord make it 100 times more than what we counted. Wow. "But my Lord, the king, are they not all my Lord's servants? Why then does my Lord inquire this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore, Joab departed and went throughout all Israel and came to Jerusalem. Now here we're reading that Joab is the voice of reason from the Lord's side. But again, King David has his view. Joab gives a warning. He talks about, why should he be the cause of guilt in Israel? Guilt in Israel, not good. David is about to cause guilt in Israel. But again, he wants these people numbered. Yeah, but he's the king, isn't he? Yeah, he is. And what the king says goes, right? Yes, that's true. But guess what? There is the highest king called Alpha and Omega. And he has a different view. Again, here we bring in the two views, David's view and the Most High's view. And then Joab says, "Why then does my Lord require this thing?" He questions David. David's still the king, but he says, why are you doing this? So I went to the One New Man Bible, Revealing Jewish Roots, and found a footnote based off of this question right here. And it says, "Our Heavenly Father does not need overwhelming numbers to defend or conquer any army, as he did so well with Gideon's 300. Wow, how about that? We all remember that story. He took 300 and did it. Remember, they started out with more, and the Lord said, "That's too many. Lest you say you're going to take credit and get my glory." See, there's no need for David to count. Why? Because the Lord is the one who delivers. But again, the word says, "Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Job." You guys, just because someone is in a high position and they say do this or do that, it doesn't mean that the Lord signed off on it. You see, we got to take it to the Lord so we don't run into two views. Verse 6 says, "For the king's word was abominable to Joab." Abominable. Well, here's what the dictionary says about abominable. Worthy of causing disgust or hatred, detestable, very bad or unpleasant, very bad or unpleasant. Man. See, but Joab did what he was asked, didn't he? Yeah. Now verse 9 says, "Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying," the seer, the prophet of the time, "go and tell David, saying thus, the Lord, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you." You guys, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. But when I read this verse, it brings to mind Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 of what can happen when we don't trust in the Lord and we begin to lean on our own understanding. You see, the enemy gets zero. I'm going to say it again. Zero credit for this. He gets no credit for this. Why? Because the Lord said that I may do it to you. He didn't say he sent it. He said that I may do it to you. Remember in the book of Jonah when it says that the Lord sent out a great wind? You can find that in Jonah chapter 1 verse 4. You see, we as believers, we'll give the enemy credit that he does not deserve. He gets way too much credit. David has a choice to make. See, there's no quote unquote "I'm king" gonna get him out of this correction because of his sin. his position, his title, or his view won't save him from this correction from the Lord. This is going to happen. Look at the grace and mercy of having three choices to even choose from. Choice one says 3 years of famine. Choice two, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you. Yikes. Or 3 days. 3 days, the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all territory of Israel. And he says, Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. Which means you're going to give me an answer because I have to take it back to the Lord. There's no getting out of this. Yikes, you guys. 3 years, 3 months, 3 days. There was going to be pain and death in Israel one way or another. Again, there's no escape. This has to be dealt with. David is king, and Gad is a mouthpiece for the Lord. Remember earlier when the word said King David's word prevailed against Joab? Why not now? How come King David, being king, how come he didn't have the final say? Because there is no one higher than the Lord God Almighty. He is the highest king who has a final say. And this sin must be dealt with. Although David is God's king, he's God's boy, but this still has to be dealt with. Glory to God. You see, that's why don't be moved by this nonsense that's going on in our world today. Because the king who sits on the highest throne, oh, I love this. He is our Father in heaven, and we belong to him. Don't be moved by all the trash in the world today and all this stuff. They say this, they say that. Trust in the Lord, for he knows what he's doing. Have faith in his Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. Verse 13, and David said to Gad, I am in great distress. I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. I see why he's in distress. Can you? I see why this guy is distressed, man. It's about to get ugly. Ugly. David said, let me fall into the hand of the Lord. You see, that's knowing who you serve. His mercies are very great. David doesn't trust man. Because he said, do not let me fall into the hand of man. Why? There's many reasons why, but we know man has an agenda that doesn't line up with the Lord. You see, man will say things like, ah, King David, too bad, so sad, you blew it. Sorry, no more chances for you. You gotta go. Goodbye. But not the Lord. You see, King David's reign isn't over yet. For the Lord is not finished with him as king. Although King David messed up, he messed up. He messed up, you guys. But man, oh Lord, I want to be with you and not man for this correction. Man and society will throw you away if given a chance. That's why we're to have faith in God, not man and his ways. Man has his own views that don't line up with the Lord's views. Bringing up again the two views. Verse 14. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So look at this, you guys. The Lord sent a plague upon Israel and 70,000 fell. It says God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. This is what we are reading in the Word of God. Don't give the enemy any credit. He gets none. He's not in this at all. It says as the angel was destroying, the Lord looked. God's watching. He sees everything. And it says the Lord relented. The Lord relented. What? By his own authority. The Lord himself says, okay, this is enough. He said, "It is enough. Now restrain your hand." And what took place? The angel of the Lord stood. That's awesome, isn't it? Now think about this. You see, the Lord is in control. And it's not a fair fight, as you can see. The angel of the Lord just dropped 70,000 men. The angel of the Lord dropped 70,000. Wow. See, we belong to the mightiest, most powerful and awesome God who made us. No, we didn't make him. Well, some out there would say we didn't make him. Nuh-uh, he made us in his image, Genesis 1:27. So the next time you feel overwhelmed, you know, just give yourself a second and say to your feelings that you're lying to me. You're lying to me. Because the Lord has so much more power and authority than any situation you or myself will encounter. Remember what we just read? The angel of the Lord took down 70,000. And if the Lord didn't relent, there would have been much more. That's why we can laugh at the enemy. Just laugh. And those minor problems or issues, because the children of the Most High God are under his care. And he takes the attacks very serious and personal against his children. Remember when Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" You see, mess with the child, you mess with the child, and you got to answer to the Father. You mess with God's child, you got to answer to him. Verse 17. And David said to Gad, "Was it not I?" I'm sorry, David said to God, not Gad. David said to God, "Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, oh my God, be against me and my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." Ladies and gentlemen, may I say, spoken like a true leader and man of God. He didn't blame everyone else. No, he took responsibility for what he did. He didn't say it was their fault, their fault, their fault. I'm the king, it's everybody else's fault but mine. Because it was his. He's the one who made the call, isn't he? And he recognizes that it was his fault, his responsibility. And what? He stood up and took it. Because remember, back in Genesis, when Adam said, "That woman you gave me," quote unquote, and then Eve said, "He tricked me," quote unquote. We see in both situations that the Lord dealt with the sin. The sin is going to be dealt with. There's no way around it. King David acknowledged his sin, but Adam and Eve, they try to pass the buck, so to speak. See, nothing is held back from the Lord. He sees and knows all. He sees and knows all. Now we're going to leave you with this. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So all the nonsense that's going on in the world today, where there are a constant two views, God's view and then the other views, know for certain, know this for certain, children of God. The Lord sees and knows it all. Now, we just read about a king who was after God's own heart, how he got dealt with. How much more for them? Praises to our Father God. Praises to our Father and Lord God in heaven. May his face shine upon you always. Pastor Tyron, signing off.